ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
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 Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home, text number 57. Sava adhyatanadrajan
parata panchamehani
kalevaram bhasyati swam తచ్చ భస్మీ భవిష్యతి సహ హి వా ఇన్ ఆల్ ప్రాబబిలిటీ అద్య టుడే తనా ఫ్రమ్ రాజన్ ఓ కింగ్ పరతః అహెడ్ పంచమే ఆన్ ద ఫిఫ్త్ అహని దే కలేవరం బోడి హాస్యతి షాల్ క్విట్ సమ్ హిస్ ఓన్ తత్ దట్ చ ఆల్సో భస్మీ యాషెస్ భవిష్యతి విల్ టర్న్ ఇన్ టు ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఓ కింగ్ హీ విల్ క్విట్ హిస్ బాడీ most probably on the fifth day from today, and his body will turn to ashes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni's prophecy prohibited Yudhishthira Maharaj from going to the place where his uncle was staying, because even after quitting the body by his own mystic power, Dhritarashtra would not be in need of any funeral ceremony. Narada Muni indicated that his body by itself would burn to ashes. The perfection of the yoga system is attained by such mystic power. The yogi is able to quit his body by his own choice of time and can attain any planet he desires by turning the present body into ashes by self-made fire.
Om Jnana Timranthasya Jnana Jana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamanyam Dadati Swapadantikam వందేహం శ్రీ గురో శ్రీయుత పద కమలం శ్రీ గురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీ రూపం సాగర జాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణాలలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనాబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తత్ కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే.
Hare Krishna. Here we can see a prophecy by Narada Muni on account of Dhritarashtra's quitting home. So here Yudhishthira Maharaj is concerned about the well-being of his uncle. He is concerned that what would happen to his uncle and aunt, because so far they were under the shelter of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and now that they have left, also the enlightened soul Vidura was also along with Yudhishthira Maharaj. He also left without anyone's notice. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was concerned, and by the arrangement, by the divine arrangement, Narada Muni has appeared at the right time, and he has given wonderful advices to Yudhishthira Maharaj, first philosophically and also on a practical basis, that is what has happened to his uncle. And now Narada Muni is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj that he doesn't have to worry about the funeral ceremony, because probably by fifth day from today, that is that day, he is going to burn his body into ashes and he is going to obtain a desired destination. So here we can see prophecies. Even in Bhagavata, many places, even in other Puranas, we can see prophecies. They can predict the future. Even the great devotees, they can predict the future. Even some of the munis, they can predict the future. So when we come upon these kinds of points, we may wonder whether it is true, or is it really true, or is it just a folklore? So especially if somebody is looking into these things from a scientific perspective, it looks like something which is a folklore. It's something which is not true, it is something which is just far out. So I was thinking about this, how far we can understand these things. So, if you look into the current advancement of science, there are not prophecies as such, but there are many kinds of predictions, there are many kinds of forecasting. So if you think about weather, there is a climatic forecasting is there. May be true or may not be true for Melbourne, but there are some kind of forecasting. Then, even politically, there are forecasting, political forecast. There is financial forecast. For anything, there is, or most of the things, there are forecasting system. And it is based on statistics. It is based on probability. And it is based on a kind of mechanistic approach to the world. Seeing everything as matter. Seeing everything in the vision of logic and reasoning. And then make some kinds of predictions. So it can hold true to some degree. However, when we move into the spiritual realm, even to the subtle realm, the forecasting is happening on a different dimension altogether. It is not on a gross level. It can be on a subtle level or it can be on a spiritual level. So if you see Narada Muni, millions of years back, he forecasted the appearance of Lord Krishna. We know that very clearly from the pastime of Nalakuvera and Manigriva. Because it was millions of years back, it was in a different yuga altogether. And Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they were sons of Kuvera, and they were bathing naked with their girlfriends. And when Narada Muni appeared in front of them, they had no shame to cover his body. And they got cursed. And when they surrendered at the feet of Narada Muni after the curse, then he gave the benediction that, okay, the curse is that you have to stand as trees for millions of years. And when you go through this punishment, ultimately you will get the audience of Sri Krishna himself. So what does that mean? Narada Muni exactly knew where Krishna is going to appear. In fact, Krishna appeared in a different place, and they moved to the first place. Then Nanda Maharaj and all the rest, they moved further, and that is the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And there, these trees were there. And then we know the pastime. Krishna, he was actually, according to the Damodar pastime, Krishna was tied onto the mortar, and he was pulling the mortar, and finally they delivered Nalakuvera and Manigriva. So see the potency of Narada Muni. He can predict the appearance of Lord Krishna himself. And it's a two-way process, as Krishna himself says. Krishna said, actually, I have no desire to give my mercy to Manigriva or Nalakuvera. I have nothing to do with such materialistic persons who do not serve me. But since my pure devotee, my dear devotee Narada Muni, has given that benediction of my audience, then certainly I have to give. So see the power of Narada Muni. He can control the desires of Krishna himself. Such is the power of a pure devotee. Then throughout in Bhagavatam, whenever there is a need, Narada Muni is there at the right time, at the right circumstance. We know the pastime of Chitraketu Maharaj, Narada Muni is involved. Murgari the hunter, Narada Muni is involved. When Dhruva Maharaj quit home, the palace, immediately Narada Muni was there to instruct Dhruva Maharaj. Even before appearance of Prahlad Maharaj, Narada Muni was involved. And during the pregnancy of Kayatu, when Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of his mother, then Narada Muni was present. Even before that, when the demigods, they were trying to attack Prahlad Maharaj's mother, Narada Muni said, no, there is a great devotee inside this womb. So we can see, throughout Narada Muni is involved, it means that Narada Muni knows the future. He knows what's happening. So this is the potency of a pure devotee. And they are not at all in the clutches of the material time. So the time factor is not restricting them in seeing the future. And according to the desire of the Lord, they are able to see what is necessary. And they are able to act accordingly. So from the perspective of a person who is completely bound by the three modes of material nature, it looks completely far out. So when we see the prophecies, it looks completely far out, because we are operating in a different dimension altogether. Whereas the pure devotees, they are working on a totally different dimension. Now, do they act or do they use these powers for their personal sense gratification? No. Generally, okay, we can say there are sages and there are some munis, they can read the mind. They can predict future to some degree, but they may not be pure devotees. And they may use that for their personal benefits. However, when it comes to pure devotees, they use all these mystic potencies only if it is necessary and also in service of Krishna. So we know the famous example when Srila Prabhupada was questioned by reporters, that is, what kind of mysticism, what kind of magic that you can perform? Because that was a time there were many swamis were going to America and they were showing different kinds of magic, and many of them were claiming that they were God. As Srila Prabhupada was saying, there was one boy who went to America and along with his mother, and they claimed that he was God. So general populace, they accepted, okay, he's God. And God was there and God's mother was there. But in due course of time, God has a severe toothache. Then, different treatments for the toothache. And Prabhupada said, see, what kind of God is this? He is completely dependent on this medical system. Completely dependent. He can't do anything. Then, after that, this God has some trouble with his mother. Then this mother disowned his own son, God. She disowned God. And she said, no, this son is not God, my other son is God. So this was going on. So this is completely false kind of statements. So from a pure devotee's perspective, he can see what is right and what is wrong. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked the same question, that is, are you God? He said, no, I am servant of God. And after that he said, no, I am not even servant of God, I am servant of God. So in this regard, when Prabhupada was questioned the same question, what kind of magic that you can perform, Srila Prabhupada said simply that he actually pointed to his disciples and said, there were hippies before. They were doing all kinds of nonsense activities. They were violating all regulative principles. intoxicating, meat eating, illicit sex, everything. But now they have turned into pure Vaishnavas. They have turned into devotees. They have given up all nonsense. So Prabhupada was saying, this is the actual magic. This is the actual mysticism. It is not just reading the mind or floating or, you know, going up in the sky. No, that's not the real magic. Yesterday I was on books, so one person was asking, can you actually float in the sky? I have heard that. I said, I'm a monk, so can you do that? I said, that is pure materialism. I said, they said, okay, where are you coming from? They said, they are coming from New Zealand. I said, you have already shown that magic. You paid some money, you were thousands of meters high in the air. For that you had to pay some money. That is materialism. That's not the real magic. The real magic is something else. So there's a difference to it. So Srila Prabhupada never encouraged such kind of magics. And he wanted the pure Krishna consciousness to be spread. And he wanted everyone to be pure devotees. So Prabhupada very well acknowledged the fact that the devotees have actually taken up the process seriously. Because one person asked Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there in the movement? Because that is the question, you know, have you got any pure devotees in the movement? What was the answer of Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada asked, how many devotees are in this cone? How many devotees are in this cone? So that many pure devotees are there. So the point Srila Prabhupada was making was the example of the ripe mango and the raw mango. So the devotion service is the mango. Initially it could be raw, but it is just a matter of time. If we hang on to the process, then it has to become ripened. So Srila Prabhupada was making the point that it doesn't matter where we are making progress in Krishna consciousness. As far as we are following the principles, as far as we are doing our sadhana and we are doing seva, then we are making progress in Krishna consciousness. And there are occasions in which Srila Prabhupada showed even magic. He could read the mind. Because a pure devotee, if required, they can manifest, and if Krishna desires, they can manifest mysticism. They can show magic, there is no problem. They can read the mind. It is said, a pure devotee has all the 8 mystic siddhis. A pure devotee has all the siddhis. They manifest or they do not manifest, that's a different story. They have all the siddhis. One time I heard from my Guru Maharaj, that is, one of his god brother organized a program for Srila Prabhupada. So he organized a big program. Big program means a huge hall, lot of seats. So devotees were there. He organized everything, prasadam, this, that, everything. He was the main organizer, and he organized everything. But he forgot one crucial thing. And what was that? No, prasadam was there. What is the most important aspect of a program? We organize everything. Then if you miss one thing, invite people, that's right. He didn't advertise the program at all. So the stage was there, the garlands were there, the instruments were there, the devotees were there, and the seats were there, the big program. But he forgot to invite anyone. That is, there was no advertisement for the whole program. So Srila Prabhupada arrived and he sat, and Prabhupada asked, why there are not many people? So in fact, you know, there were only a few devotees and a few people, that's all. Then he apologized, you know, said, you know, actually it was my mistake. And he was completely shaken. You can imagine a program was, you know, we can imagine if you organize a program before and cooking for, you know, hundreds of people. And there was no advertisement whatsoever for the program. You know, those who is the key organizer, you can imagine the state of his mind. Of course, in this occasion, Srila Prabhupada asked, where are people? Because he understood it was a mistake of a person, because he can see. At the same time, there was another occasion, I think in Europe somewhere in London, where not many people came for the program. It was only a handful, even though it was a big program, only a handful of people came actually. Then devotees apologized to Srila Prabhupada. Then Srila Prabhupada said, no, it doesn't matter, who said no one came? Actually, Narada Muni came, he was very happy. Prabhupada was very happy. No, Narada Muni came. He was very happy. So, that was another occasion. But in this occasion, since he didn't try, Prabhupada actually asked, where are the people? Then, this particular devotee, he was the organizer. He was in the back seat of the car. And Srila Prabhupada was in the front seat. And they were driving. And This devotee, he couldn't, you know, he doesn't know what to do. You know, he was completely shaken, and he was internally, he was just chanting Prabhupada's pranam mantra. Just, he was just sitting and he was chanting pranam mantra. Inside, it's not allowed. Just inside, you know, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bodhara, Srimad Deva Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhamani, Namaste Sarasya Deva Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Sarasya Pashyati Deshitara. And he was just repeatedly reciting in the mind. Then Srila Prabhupada said, he just turned and said, if you chant my pranam mantra, I have forgiven all the offenses, don't worry. And this devotee later, he said, in that shock, he couldn't actually understand what was going on, because he was in a shock. Then later he thought, and then he understood, actually Prabhupada could read everything. Read the mind very clearly, that he was chanting his pranam mantra. Prabhupada could read everything. And he said, no, it's enough, I have forgiven. So this is, there are many occasions in which Srila Prabhupada has shown his, you know, mystical abilities, even though he didn't make a big show of it, because he knew then his disciples and we followers would take mysticism as all in all. Because if you see, and there are different swamis who has written books which are based on mysticism. I have read some such books before. And we, a common person who is naive and ignorant, would think that that is a sum and substance of spiritual life. Whereas if you read Raghunath Maharaj's book, he wrote that book in a response to one of such mystical books. In response to there is the, you remember the yogi? Yogananda. Yeah, Yogananda. Yogananda. I have read his book. It is full of mysticism. Yogananda. Paramahamsa Yogananda. He has a book. His book is, anyone remember the title? Autobiography of a Yogi. Yes. In that, it's a series of mysticism. So Radhan Swami presented this book to show that mysticism is not the essence. So he is going through different mystical sages, but he is not accepting them as spiritual master. Ultimately, he is coming to pure devotional service. So this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada also. Prabhupada didn't want to encourage such kind of a thing. He wanted to show that highest thing is service to Krishna, not just, you know, so-called magic. And I was also going through one of the videos in which one of Srila Prabhupada's disciple was speaking. He had a room conversation with Srila Prabhupada in which he was from France. He said, okay, I'm going to this particular place in France. First I'm going to this place, and after that I'll continue my journey and I'll go to the next place. And he said, from here till here, it's going to be bought, and from there something else. So he was giving the whole itinerary to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, okay, you will go to this place and that's it. And you'll go there and that's it. Now this devotee said, no, Prabhupada, I will go there and from there I'll continue journey. And then Prabhupada said, no, you go till there, that's it. He was not instructing, he was saying, no, you'll go till there, like that, as a prophecy, as a, you know, prediction. Then this devotee again said, no, I'll go to the first place and I'll go to the second place. Then later he was telling, I don't know, my spiritual master is telling something. Still, I don't know why I try to refute. Anyway, he went to the first place. And he couldn't go to the next place. He said the vehicle, whichever, it was broken down and he couldn't move from that place. So then he thought back, you know, when Prabhupada said something, it's actually true. It happened. And that's it. So they have the ability to see the future. And we know also the mysticism of Srila Prabhupada with the tender coconut water. You know, in India, it was a Sankirtan and his train, I think. The devotees were there and Srila Prabhupada was there, and everyone was thirsty, and they bought a full coconut water for Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada first drank and he gave to about 12 devotees. Still, everyone had enough water in that. So everyone considered it is quite mystical. So there is, for a pure devotee, there are mystical abilities, but they do not demonstrate that unnecessarily. Even they may show, but they won't make it a big deal out of it. They stress as pure devotional service. Because otherwise the whole purpose of our movement will be deviated. And recently I had another pastime with Bhakti Siddhanta. So this is also about, it's amazing how service to a pure devotee, how, and even a slight amount of service, how has its ramification, after effects, even after a lifetime, you know, it just goes on. So in fact, Janardhan Prabhu was telling me this past time. This is about a devotee, a Mataji in London. And she has the memory of her previous life. and she knows that she was from a villager from Bengal. And when she first came to Krishna Consciousness Movement, when she had a look into the photo of Bhaktisiddhanta, she could actually identify Maharaj. And when she went to Bengal, Mayapur, Navadvip, that area, she could actually identify the places, she could recognize the places. So it's a kind of past life memory which is common, especially mainly for children, but she was grown up, but she had this kind of memory. And the most interesting aspect of her life was, in her previous life, she saw Bhaktisiddhanta once. So that's the reason she could identify him in this lifetime. She saw Bhaktisiddhanta once on a river bank, and she saw once, and she thought in her mind, he's a pious, saintly person. And that was it. And Bhaktisiddhanta looked at her. She can remember that. And she says, with that, now she can see she is actually a devotee, you know, serving the movement in the Paschatya Desha, what was the desire of Bhaktisiddhanta. So it is true, pure devotee, they see beyond time. Even though we think like, okay, we are restricted by time, we are restricted by our conditioning, but they are not. They can see the future. And if the Lord desires, they use us, their mystical abilities. But many times they may not use also, because they don't want to make it the essence of devotion service. Because the essence of devotion service is pleasing Krishna, to be engaged in Krishna service, to satisfy Sri Guru and Krishna. So, we shouldn't judge devotees based on these things. Okay, even though there are such kind of pastimes, even though such kind of pastimes are demonstrated by pure devotees, we should never judge a devotee by these kind of things. We should, first of all, we shouldn't try to judge, but we should see, we should glorify their service. We should glorify their dedication. We should glorify how much they are trying to preach and please Krishna. So that's what we have to look at, not these kind of things. But when we see such kind of aspects in pure devotees, certainly we can see it's how great are they. In fact, even in some devotees in ISKCON, they have these abilities to, you know, read the mind, all these kind of things. One time, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was mentioning this point that a lady was sitting right in front of his lecture, and that point, he was mentioning that the whole throughout the lecture, he was mentioning she was trying with her mind to mind, not externally, with the mind to distract her, distract him, and to impart some negative energy onto him. So Maharaj was telling he could really understand, and he was so fixed in Krishna consciousness, so she couldn't affect him, but he could actually see. So this is, you know, somebody who is beyond. They can actually see what's going on above our normal perspective, above our normal vision. And here we can see the siddhis as demonstrated by Dhritarashtra, because Dhritarashtra, he was practicing mystical yoga, and as we can see in the next verses that Narada Muni, Vidura, even though his spiritual master, was not fully satisfied with Dhritarashtra, because okay, on one side he was happy and on the other side he was sad. The reason is, he was happy because okay, he has given up the heavy materialistic lifestyle and now he has come to the spiritual path. But he was sad because he couldn't turn him into a pure devotee, and he couldn't actually show that mercy because he was completely offensive towards pure devotees of the Lord, those were Pandavas. So materialistic, that is one thing, that is okay, but he was offensive to pure devotees, so he couldn't turn him into a pure devotee. So for that respect, Vidura was not satisfied, but otherwise he was satisfied. So it's a mixed feeling that Vidura had. Now he has become a mystic, so he could actually elevate himself to higher planet or to the Brahma Jyoti. So he had that ability, and as we can see here, he got liberated. He became a liberated sage, and he quit his body and he went to the Brahma Jyoti. So that is the kind of liberation that Dhritarashtra attained. Now, this kind of mystic siddhi, like of liberation, or even going to the spiritual world, that kind of liberation, who has? Pure devotees have. We can see just before a few chapters before, we were reading the pastime of Bhishma Pitama. He had Swachanda Mrityu. He could leave the body any time. So it means if he wants to stay longer, he can. And he used his mystic siddhi in service of the Lord. How? He waited. People say, okay, he waited just for Uttarayana. That is when the sun goes to the northern side. Uttarayana. People say, okay, he was just waiting for for a certain time, because it is said Uttarayana, those who leave their body in Uttarayana, they can go to the spiritual world or to the heavenly. We can see the description. So these kind of different details are there. But ultimately, Bhishma was not using his mystic siddhi for anything, but he was simply waiting for the mercy of Krishna. He was just waiting when Krishna would come and when he would get his audience. That's all. So he wanted to leave his body when Krishna was right present in front of him. So that was a suitable time. When that time appeared, he was ready to leave the body. So Bhishma, as a supreme mystic, he went to the spiritual abode. As we can see in the same canto, that he went to the spiritual abode where Parthasarathi is the presiding deity. So he went to the spiritual abode. So that is the actual mystic siddhi, that is going to the spiritual world. Even same with Haridas Thakur, he was just waiting for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in front of him. So he told Lord Chaitanya that I know that you are going to leave this world. So Haridas Thakur, he knew when Lord Chaitanya would disappear from this world. And I know that you are going to leave this world, and I don't want to witness such a sad scene. I want to leave this world before that. I want to leave in your association. And as we know, Lord Chaitanya, being merciful unto his pure devotee, he granted that request. And Haridas Thakur left the world right in front of the Lord, chanting Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya. So that is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And how these mystics, the supreme mystics who are pure devotees, they could depart from this world and they could go to the spiritual abode. So that is the higher mysticism, that is going to the spiritual abode. That is Antakale Chamameva Smaran Muktua Kalevaram. So Antakale, the time of death, think about Krishna. Then Sarprayadi Tejanma Tejan Bhavam Yanti Nanyastra Sansheha. So there is no doubt about it. One gets the same similar kind of body as the Supreme Lord. So that is the actual mysticism. Now, one more point I would like to mention in this purport, that is, okay, here Narada Muni is giving this, predicting this future because of this reason, because he understood that Yudhishthira Maharaj was concerned about his uncle. So he was a well-wisher of all the living entities. So this point is very important for us, and especially for this month, that we had to some degree, by the order of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Maharaj, we had to work, or we had to act as an instrument in their hands in distributing mercy of Krishna in the form of books, because this is the time we had to distribute some books. It's actually meant to distribute throughout the year, but at least we can't do throughout, at least this time we had to go out and we had to put our effort in distributing books. So I thought I would read something from Srila Prabhupada's compilation, this compilation of different requests. This is my request. It's a beautiful, yesterday night I was going through a few of these excerpts from his different letters, different lectures, etc. It is just amazing. So we can just pick something and read a few to see what Srila Prabhupada says regarding this. Whenever I get report of my book selling, I feel strength. Even now, in this weakened condition, I have got strength from your report. You should know that in this work, you have Krishna's blessing. Letter to Sasarup, in 1974, 8 September. So we can see even Prabhupada, when he was sick, when he hears some book distribution scores, Prabhupada used to be enlivened. He was very happy. The book sales are very encouraging, increasing. It is very good news. Thank you. I want this. Record selling is temporary. So Prabhupada is making, record selling is temporary. A book sold becomes a permanent matter for enjoyment. See how Prabhupada is seeing the permanent and temporary in this. We can sell many things, but he's seeing the temporary and the permanent. Amazing. We read the scriptures again and again, and it is still fresh. when there is time, I go on reading my own books. Nice letter to Hamsadutta Prabhu. So you can see, I go on reading my own books. So Prabhu was giving the transcendental nature of his books. Whatever progress we have made, it is simply due to distributing the books. So go on and do not divert your mind for a moment from this. Letter to Rameshwar. Prabhu is like, it's amazing thing. The Brahmanas are always truthful, even to their enemies. There is sufficient merit in our books that if you simply describe them sincerely to anyone, they will buy. The art you must develop, not of art of lying. Convince them to give by your preaching the absolute truth, not by tricking. That is more mature stage of development of Krishna consciousness. So it is in 1972, letter to Sri Govinda. Distribution of books and magazines is our most important activity. Without books, our preaching has no solid basis. Letter to Chavana. These books and magazines are our most important propaganda weapons to defeat the ignorance of Maya's army. And the more we produce such literature and sell them profusely all over the world, the more we shall deliver the world from the suicide course. So your work is the most important preaching work. May Krishna bless you more and more. Thank you for helping me in this way. Letter to Jayadvaita. Jayadvaita Maharaj. I'll read a couple of more. Print as many books as possible. This is my real pleasure. By printing these books of our Krishna conscious philosophy in so many languages, we can actually inject our movement into the masses of persons all over the world, especially there in the Western countries, and we can literally turn whole nations into Krishna conscious nations. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Certainly, if His Divine Grace were personally present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though He is not physically present, I am confident that He is very much pleased by this work of translation. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has been formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, please.
According to this
paragraph,
the line to the different books.
What's that?
According to what you have just said,
Prabhupada
did not approve line.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you. Really troubled few days. I did disagree with some people who were cheating and lying to distributing books, and I asked from the class and they were saying, oh, it's kind of okay. And I was really not really happy with him, because if someone gives me a book and advice to me, I would never read and think about this book again. We are preaching truthfulness, and we go and cheat people. We are telling we are not, we are preaching that, I'm not saying that, and we are not. This is not good, because people, they can see us tomorrow with the wife, with the children, and they say we are upholding the four regular pillars of religion. That's not good. Thank you very much. Really, thank you so much.
Any further questions or comments? Yes, sir.
I think if we have firm conviction ourselves first that everything belongs to Krishna, everything is His energy, then it will be easy for us to distribute and share.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
In the last time,
we didn't really care for them because they're engaged in the activities.
Yes.
But otherwise, rather than doing
yes.
mercy, he cared for them.
That's right.
And also, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says he's a friend of all living entities.
Yes.
At the same time, so he's like the best friend of all living entities. So,
yeah, Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that samoham sarvabhutesh, I am equal to everyone. The same time, yo bhajati em va bhaktiya mai cheteshu chapiham. Krishna says, but who worship me in bhakti, for them I am more favorable. So Krishna is equal to everyone, but he has soft corners for his devotees. How is it like that? The example is given. For example, the rain is there everywhere. Rain is there everywhere. When rain doesn't discriminate on the ocean, on the land, everywhere, on the sky. Everywhere, rain means everywhere. But it is up to us how much mercy we want to take, how much advantage we want to take out of it. So if you go with a bucket, we get one bucket of water. If you take a big pot, we'll get that much water. So devotees are, they want, Krishna is ready to give mercy, but devotees are ready to accept the mercy of the Lord. Whereas the materialistic people, they are not ready to accept the mercy of the Lord. Even among devotees, we are, some of us want little bit mercy, some want more mercy. So it's up to us how much we want mercy, how much we want to serve Krishna. The opportunity is there for everyone, so it's up to us. So he is well-wisher of everyone in the sense, even for a materialistic person who is providing for sustenance, who is providing everything. Everything is taken care by Krishna himself through his energies. Even though priya prakrite kriyamanani gunaya karmani sarvacha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate, one who is bewildered by the three modes of material nature, he thinks he is the doer of the activities which are in reality being carried out by the modes of material nature, which is under the direction of Krishna. So if one doesn't want to turn to Krishna, yes, still they are maintained, they are being taken care. But he is merciful, so he sends his devotees to preach. So the mercy is there. Krishna is sending, Krishna actually gives his mercy to devotees. So mercy is there, that mercy is being carried forward by devotees, and they do the preaching activity on behalf of Krishna. Say here, Narada Muni gave that mercy to Nalakavera and Manigriva. So even though Krishna says, no, I don't directly deal, but because of the devotees, he is ready to give. So ultimately, Krishna wants everyone to go back to him. He doesn't want anyone to stay back here. So for that, he is actually giving Shastra, he is coming by himself. All these things are actually to spread the mercy. He wants everyone to go back. That's the actual mission of the Lord. So he reminds best friend of everyone, because he wants everyone to go back. And he facilitated that. But this is a very, very special case. A special case where he doesn't have to give audience to a materialistic person and give him the understanding that he is the Supreme Lord. He doesn't have to. But because of the interference of Narada Muni, it happened. Granthashrama Bhagavatam ki Shri Prabhupada ki Sri Prabhupada ki.